You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Students around the country are set to return to classrooms over the next month, and there's a lot of concern about whether enough teachers will be there too. We've been talking about teacher shortages for years, but current levels have been causing some news outlets to use words like catastrophic and crisis to describe them in districts in Wisconsin and around the country. What's causing this problem? What solutions are there? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you seeing this in your school? If you work for a school district, is it a homestretch scramble to make sure there's enough teachers to teach the kids when school opens up? Are you a parent or guardian of a student who's affected by a shortage of teachers, students out there? Was this a problem you saw last year? Call in at 800-642-1234. If you were a teacher and you left the profession maybe earlier than planned, love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Tim Slecker is Director of Educator Preparation Programs at Muskingum University in Ohio. He was formerly with Edgewood College in Madison. He's the host of Busted Pencils Public Education Podcast. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me back.
I remember from past conversations, you don't like the phrase teacher shortage. You say there's more going on behind that. What are you seeing now?
Just an acceleration of what I talked about was it 2019 when you and I talked the first time? It's a leaving, it's an exodus. And on this side, too, the number of people who want to become teachers is declining in a rate that should be incredibly alarming. And I think really alarming at this point to talk about parents, what are you thinking about? Are the people in front of your children, are they teachers, or are they at this moment in time going to just be responsible adults that hopefully will provide safety? And Rob, that's the difference I think we want to talk about, because the shortage solutions right now that we're putting out there, they're not teacher shortage solutions. They're responsible adults that can provide safety while there are no teachers available to teach.
Right. That's some states around the country have done things like saying, okay, military veterans, they can become teachers without the usual certification, or we're going to shorten the length of teacher certification or allow people to teach who haven't quite gotten there yet. What do you see as the shortcomings of that sort of, I guess, Band-Aid approach?
Well, that's what I said, I think we could be honest. If we're honest about this, and first of all, say this isn't a teacher. When I'm taking a honorably discharged veteran that did wonderful things by America and then putting them into a classroom, we're putting them in there for the responsibility and the possibility that they're going to provide some safety, some guidance, some supervision for kids while we're trying to get teachers, because there aren't teachers available. So you don't solve the teacher shortage by bringing people in and calling them teachers. You have to actually get teachers. In the meantime, we have to be responsible for the children, though, and say, here are responsible adults that can provide safety and supervision while we take what we can do and try to get the teachers that your kids deserve.
Okay, so, but why are we short on, you know, the trained teachers right now?
Okay, so why are we short on, now you go back to the conditions in the classroom. And I would say for, you know, over the years, you know, there's a lot of assault that's been dropped on teachers. It's a hard job to do. Anyway, pay is not the way it should be. But most important is that understand teachers. The majority of teachers got into this profession to change lives, to make a difference, to be a mentor, to be a coach, to be this wonderful person. The conditions in the classroom have taken teachers to the point of going, they can't teach, they can't make a difference. So that agency, the professional responsibility, the ability to stand up and do what's best for kids, more teachers realize now the ability to do that, to make a difference in the lives of kids, has been really stripped away from them, whether it's by the society, the culture, or even just really bad education reforms that have largely been responsible over the last few years, particularly accountability and testing, has done everything to erode the profession.
Talking to Tim Slecker, Director of Educator Preparation Programs at Muskingum University in Ohio, formerly here in Wisconsin, talking about a big shortage of teachers in districts around Wisconsin, around the country, what to do about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you are a teacher, if you were a teacher. What do you think is driving this? Are you seeing this problem in your school, whether you work there, whether you're a student there, whether you're a parent of a student there. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Tim, how much did the pandemic contribute to this? I know a lot of, especially older educators who might have thought they had a few more years in them, thought, do I expose myself to this extra health risk by sticking around for those few years?
Yeah, the pandemic is an accelerant to the dumpster fire that was already going on with the teacher exodus. You know, you think about early in the pandemic, there was a moment where, you know, teachers showed up when classrooms were closed. They did, you know, Zoom. They provided Wi-Fi. They were delivering food to children that weren't able to get food in school. You know, for a moment, we saw teachers as heroes. But quickly after, though, right away, when teachers started to actually talk about the health risks for themselves, they got lumped into that kind of alarmist category of not wanting to be there for the kids. And so, yeah, after 2 years of teaching during a pandemic, whether it's lockdown, mask on, mask off, being told constantly that you're a threat to children. And now the new push that all of a sudden we now think that teachers, by teaching appropriate content such as the past, history, slavery, teaching sexual education appropriately, grade developmentally, has somehow been turned into critical theorist Marxist groomers. Of course, why is anybody teaching? So pandemic and culture wars, why are we surprised this is catastrophic?
Yeah, we heard from Aaron and Lake Hallie, who called, couldn't stay online. Aaron says a big problem is how teachers are being portrayed in the media as spreading, as you're just mentioning, critical race theory, for example. Aaron went on, a lot of teachers are afraid of losing their jobs for being LGBTQ allies. How big a factor, you just mentioned that, Tim, how big a factor do you see that for teachers as we head into the school year?
It's a huge issue. Just think about what you just said here. The idea, and in fact, I just read this here in an article in Ohio, a school district here that has had over the last 15 years, a diversity day, a tribute to diversity, has been canceled now because of the threat that that diversity day was actually a grooming event for critical theorists, which has everything so backwards. Celebrating the fact 15 years of progress of allying and being there for diverse students. And then you're talking about LGBTQ, the fact that I have a rainbow on my door that says this is a safe space. Now that a teacher can be targeted as saying you're somehow doing something inappropriate by protecting and guarding the lives of all children. That's the kind of crazy where teachers are saying, I know what's best. It's best to protect every kid, to do what I can. I'm now being yelled at for providing the best safe space, best education for all of my children. How in the world do you expect me to go on being a teacher when I can't even do this bare minimum of keeping my kids safe?
Tim, you've given us a long list of things that might be driving teachers out of the profession or preventing new teachers from getting into it in the first place. Do you see plausible solutions to turn any of that around over the next, I don't know, year?
Whether a year or not, I think first thing is to recognize too that the solutions of getting emergency people in there, if we start to be honest and say that these aren't teachers, these are people that are providing safety and support, then we can do this. And then we address why don't we have teachers. And I think some of the models of looking at of growing your own teachers, looking at people who live in the community who have a vested interest in there, and being a part of the community so that parents can reimagine that those teachers who they absolutely value for those kids are their responsibility. Too many people believe that the teacher shortage is affecting the street down the school down the road and not their own. Parents right now, when parents want really great teachers, we can do that through grow your own approaches, residency, 1 year residency models, teacher preparation institutions, combining partnerships with K-12 and the community. This is a community service project that everybody can get behind because this is what makes thriving communities.
Tim, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
You got it, Rob. Thank you.
That's Tim Slecker, Director of Educator Preparation Programs at Muskingum University in Ohio. We talked to them about an escalating problem with recruiting and retaining teachers as being felt in Wisconsin and nationwide. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at the problem and some efforts to solve it here in Wisconsin. And you can still join in at 800-642-1234. What is going on in your local school district? Whether you work at a school, used to work at a school. You're a student. You're a parent. What are you seeing going on when it comes to bringing people into the profession, keeping them there? If you have been a teacher and left the profession, what drove you out? If you're staying, what are you trying to balance there? Did you think about going into teacher school? What made you decide to do it or not to do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about teacher shortages in districts around the state and the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you experiencing this in your district right now? Call in at 800-642-1234. If you work in schools, if you've worked in schools, what are you seeing right now? What kind of challenges are there in keeping people on the job or bringing new people into it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Diana Hess is Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education. Diana, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
What are you hearing from districts around the country? I've seen individual reports here and there. What is your general impression of a potential teacher shortage in the state?
Well, I think the teacher shortage is nationwide, and I think it's really serious in Wisconsin. It has been a problem in Wisconsin for a number of years. But as Tim was suggesting, it's been made much worse by the pandemic.
I want to make sure we talk about this. You have an effort in your education school to try to bring people in and to make sure they work at schools in Wisconsin. Can you tell us about the Wisconsin Teacher Pledge?
Sure. This Wisconsin Teacher Pledge started in August of 2020. We were able to raise money from private donors to create a program where all of the students in our teacher education programs are offered free tuition and testing fees if they pledge to stay in Wisconsin to teach for either 3 or 4 years. So kind of the tagline for the program is, we pledge to pay if they pledge to stay.
And those teachers will be getting into the schools, I guess, in a few years. Do you see shorter term solutions that might help with, fall 2022?
Well, actually, we do have teacher pledge students who are already in the schools. There are over 100 teacher pledge students who finished their first year of teaching. And we had them all here for a summer institute last week. And there are well over 100 additional teachers who will be starting this fall. So we're happy that this program is taking effect very, very quickly. And we're studying it because we're trying to figure out whether or not this is an approach that will work to bring more people into teaching, to keep them in Wisconsin, and to keep them teaching for long enough that they get over the challenges that are so extreme in your first year or two of teaching.
Do you see people, Diana, being more reluctant to go into education in the first place?
Well, absolutely. If we look at teacher education numbers across the country, they are down rather dramatically. One of the reasons we created the Teacher Pledge was to see whether or not lowering the financial barriers to going into teaching would cause more people to want to go into teaching. And so far, it's working. We've got a much bigger class coming in this fall than we've had in the past. And when we just looked at the number of students who are admitted to UW-Madison in this year's freshman class, who say they want to go into elementary education, which they would start as juniors, that number is up 40%. So I actually think that programs like the Teacher Pledge that provides financial support for people to go into teaching can act as an incentive.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Frank is calling from on the road. Frank, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about, Frank?
Well, I taught out here in the suburbs from 1977 till 2011. I kind of was forced to retire because of Act 10, which took power away from the teachers' unions. Now, what was bad about that was that oftentimes in my first 34 years of teaching, since then I've also done long-term subbing, I would say to the old teachers, why am I doing this? And they would say, Frank, the pension is great. Hang in there. Then the unions negotiated, and we had a really nice retirement package that if I retired, like let's say at 58, I retired, I would get 7 years of health insurance, a bridge between retirement and Medicare. But now, if you're a teacher, and let's say you've been teaching 20 years, you're in your 40s, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just another thing that makes teaching more and more of a burden.
Frank, I gotcha. Frank, Diana, we haven't mentioned Act 10 yet. How big? This is it's been 11 years now since that public union law affected teachers in particular. How big a factor do you see that?
Well, I think Act 10 did have a negative effect. We know that in the year after Act 10, a lot of people left teachings, many, many more than had left the year before. But Act 10 can't be the major cause of why we have a teacher shortage in Wisconsin, because this is a nationwide problem. And, you know, Act 10 was unique to Wisconsin. I do think one of the things that happened as a consequence of Act 10 is that teacher pay went down, especially because the amount of money they had to pay for benefits went up. And I do think that teacher pay is a major reason why people leave teaching. I mean, I've talked to a number of new teachers, and they like teaching, they want to stay in teaching, but they can't afford to stay in teaching because they're simply not making enough money. So one of the reasons, again, we created the teacher pledge was so students wouldn't have burdensome student loans. Because if they had those, that would effectively lower their standard of living. But I do think as a state, we'd need to be worried about how low teacher pay is.
We're talking to Diana Hess, Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, looking at teacher shortages in Wisconsin and elsewhere. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to AJ in Madison. AJ, hi.
Yes, I was just wondering, for those of us who are in our 50s and who have a strong career background, who want to become a teacher, how do we take advantage of the program that Dean Hess was talking about?
Oh, interesting, AJ. Thanks for the call, Diana.
Well, AJ, we would welcome you to apply to one of our teacher education programs. We have programs for people who do not have a bachelor's degree. We've got programs for people who already have a bachelor's degree who want to come in and be prepared to teach special education or middle school or high school in science, math, or social studies or English. So we are really welcoming people to come back after they've had other careers. And we have a number of people in our teacher education programs who are doing just that. We have one student who recently graduated. He's going to be a high school science teacher, and he had previously been a pharmacist. So, you know, there is no age limit. We welcome people into our teacher education programs.
AJ, thanks for the call. Elise joins us now in Madison. Elise, hi.
Hi.
What's your story, Elise?
So after 12 years of teaching in public schools, I sent in my letter of resignation at the end of this school year, even though I don't have anything in place yet. And the way I would explain it to people is that the fear of the unknown is much less than the fear of the known, which is our current public school system. And there's really two big issues that I see right now. The first one is dealing with how I would say nearly every school across the nation even has this claim of valuing relationships, which truly is the backbone of education. But as a high school English teacher, I very routinely had 30 or more students per class. And we can't say that we value relationships if each teacher is responsible for 150 or more students per semester. And then the second thing is cell phone usage. It is something that actually has to be very specifically addressed, especially coming off of pandemic. Students are clinically addicted to their cell phones, and we don't really have any rules about that. And I will never be more interesting than what someone can find on their cell phone. And at any given moment, there would be probably at least 10 students on their cell phones during class, even though our school rule was not to be on cell phones.
Elise, thanks for the call. Diana, Elise pointing toward a couple of in classroom conditions that helped drive her off.
Well, absolutely. We know that a lot of teachers go into teaching because they really want to have strong relationships with young people because that's the way to best teach them. And I think she's absolutely right that the larger class sizes make it much more difficult to create the kind of relationships you need with students in order to be an effective teacher. And I also agree with her that cell phone usage is really a problem. And I've been in schools that have come up with ways of keeping students from using cell phones, and they seem very different to me than schools where teachers are battling what we just heard, where you've got students who are addicted to their cell phones. And, you know, that just is a barrier to learning. So I actually do think we have to take a very, very strong stand against having cell phones in the classroom. And I think there are ways of doing that.
Thanks for that call, Diana. In just our last minute or so, talk about who might be eligible for this Wisconsin Teacher Pledge Program. One thing I think I got a little wrong earlier, it could be somebody who's already a junior in college, say.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have undergraduate teacher education programs, and we've just signed a new agreement with Madison College, where people can go to Madison College for 2 years and then have a guaranteed transfer into our teacher education programs. We're really excited about that, and we're hoping to get a lot of students from Madison College. But there are a number of ways to get into the Teacher Pledge and get into our teacher ed programs. So I really encourage people who are interested to just Google UW-Madison Teacher Pledge. That will take you to information about how you can talk with somebody who can help you think about your specific situation. But I think if we're going to solve the teacher shortage in Wisconsin and across the nation, we're going to have lots of creative ways of attracting people into the field. So, for example, we have a special program with the Madison Metropolitan School District where people who are employed in the school district and have a bachelor's degree, but they're not currently teachers and they want to be teachers, we've created a special program for them.
And we have to leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Diana Hess, Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education. Join us for a look at teacher staffing in Wisconsin and some solutions on the way.